You know what those are?
No, I really don't. Cheers, I've used them and didn't realize where. Yeah, oh, you bet.
All the grandchildren, whoever else. This was the thing in those days. And being in the publishing business, they were always quality-oriented, and that's probably why they went broke during the Depression. You know, they lost the company completely, the publishing company, because they couldn't or wouldn't or wasn't able to adjust to the times, and they lost that.
Your father didn't sell it?
No, it's pretty well forced out. There's no question about it. It's, you know, Depression years. I was real tiny then. I don't have too many recollections of it because it was pretty disastrous. But it was really tough for anybody to survive in those days. This is like in the early 1930s when the publishing business went sour because people had to eat. They weren't buying hardback books then, period. So all these years when he was involved with the media and doing these things, money was always a tremendous problem. It would have to be. You mentioned this, how difficult it was to get money, and I don't have too many recollections of it, but I know that he was constantly trying to get people or suppliers to furnish stuff either gratis or hopefully get a little publicity where they could sell their stuff, which is normal business procedures, and it still is in some lines. So there's always a money problem, and he always had to get help. And I imagine he's pretty frazzled a lot of times. How this is all done, I don't know.
Well, now, you to back up a little bit.
What year were you born?
1921. I'm 55.
Well, you were born in 1921. What day? When were you born?
May 9th.
May 9th. You're both of you boys are born
in That's right.
May 20th.
Yeah, yesterday, the day before, was my brother's birthday. That's right, the 20th, Thursday.
Where were you born?
I was born in New York State. My brother was born in Bend, Oregon.
Now, he was born in 1913.
Well, let's see, there's 8 years differences. Yes, 13, that's right.
13,
I think
you
that's
were
right.
Born in 21.
Right.
Wait, he was born in Bend. You know, in the book, In the Oregon Country, there's pictures of your mother and dad, both in the book, and yet in the book he never identifies who the woman is that's with him.
Not really. He identifies her as his wife.
Yeah. Huh?
He talked about her a lot and everything, but
he never
really
identifies who the
wife.
Woman is. But it she had the pigtails and whatnot, and when she was at least camping,
Oh, my father was quite an outdoorsman. They liked to camp, but I know my mother's talked about going on many, many days, canoe trips, I presume, down the Deschutes River or whatnot, and how they liked the desert country because you didn't need a tent. It never rained out there in that transition zone, as you know. When we were in Bend, Oregon, I found it interesting. I went to the newspaper there, the Bend Bulletin, and kindly enough, they fished out all their microfilm records of the 1912 era and when my father was there. And I read the birth announcement of my brother, among other things. It was kind of interesting to me, you know, to do this sort of thing. We found the house that they built and lived in, and even without going in it, I knew that this was the house that my mother and father would have built. It just suited them. And the present owners, remember, we let us go in, and we looked around, went down to the basement, the whole thing. It's still there. It's still a serviceable living house. Yeah.
Was it on the Deschutes River then?
No, it's in town. I don't know, I guess it's Brooks Scanlon Lumber Company or something. It had a huge sawmill there, which is across the river, and now there's a park. And I think the park and the lake in that town was really the mill site for water, for logs, for the huge mill, which has gone many, many years ago.
For
the three girls in the family.
Now,
my mother and her two sisters. It's Dohema.
Helen and Mary.
Dorothy, Helen, and Mary, Dohema Street.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that most people in Bend probably do.
Figure out where that name came from. Well, now, that's got to be the prettiest little town in the world.
It's a nice little town. We like that. Yeah. Nice
well,
town.
Now, you were born in
Portchester, New York.
Portchester.
Near the Connecticut-New York line, just outside of New York City.
Now, that wasn't the Rye home.
That's correct. Rye's right next to Portchester.
The hospital.
But the Rye house was not built. The big house was not built when I was born. They lived in a little bitty place right on the Boston Post Road, right in the town of Rye, right up in the main street of town there where the Boston Post Road goes through. It was U.S. number one. I just have the vaguest memories of this older place.
Okay, now 1921, your father, before David was born, and I believe your mother had gone with him, let's back up a little bit.
What year were they married?
Where were they married?
1910, wasn't it?
Well, all right, now...
I think so, 1910.
Did she go down south to the...
Well, she and my father went on
Central America.
They went on a long trip, and he wrote a book called The Southland of America.
Southland of America.
That book you haven't read yet.
That's one book I haven't read.
It's very interesting. A lot of interesting pictures. And my mother remembers all this quite well because, you know, this is prior to the completion of the Panama Canal and crossing the Isthmus and the work trains and so on and going up to the west coast of Central America.
This is what got me in the Oregon country. Father was so perceptive about what was going to happen because of the Panama Canal.
Well, I don't know, but I guess you're right. I never really thought about that aspect of it, but... I know she liked Costa Rica very much, and we were there about 15 or 16 years ago in San Jose, and we liked it too. You know, it was kind of interesting to me, talking to her in the same places and whatnot, and the same railroads and what things like this. So this was quite a lengthy trip they had down there.
And he wrote that book, The Southland of North America, as a result of that.
Yeah, one of the, strangely enough, is the sidelight. They got, those days, no one was interested in Mayan ruins or all the archaeology and artifacts. And so she ended up with two pieces of thing. The one's a four-legged Metate stone with a jaguar head, and the other's a three-legged vessel of some sort with stuff inside of it. And they've been in my mother's house all my life. And so within the last year, one of the board members of Minion Smith Company is a man, his son, and he too was quite interested in this. So I brought them up to show them to them one time what they were. And just recently we've heard back from the son, and they've identified these things. They go back like into whatever era the pre-Mayans were, the pre-Incas or something, like 1,000 years old. We have them here now. They're still wrapped up. But we haven't even taken them out yet. But it's interesting. These came from this trip, or they must have been, because after the 30s, you know, there wasn't much of this good stuff available.
Well, how did they happen to decide to settle in Bend, I wonder, after?
Well, my father had been there first, and I think my father and mother met, actually, out in the Sierras, because she was a young girl, and her parents thought this was the thing, you know, to do, was see these beautiful mountains and stuff out there, and I think that's where they met, was on a Sierra Club outing. I'm not sure, but I think this is right, which would be 7, 8, something like that. She was 17, so that would be 1905 or 6. As a matter of fact, my mother went on a trip once with John Muir out of Yosemite up there.
So
well, now your father mentions that
in
his book.
Even before she met him.
Now, she was a great shot, a good hunter and fisherwoman and swimmer.
Dorothy Binney was a little older than your father, wasn't she?
No, it was just the opposite. 1 year difference.
1 year different. The only reason I said that, because Nilla said that she was 10 months older than David, and Marie, we were kidding, because Marie's 20 months older than I am.
And she said something about she thought that
just the opposite.
Just the opposite.
Yeah.
Well, then your father was born in 87.
That's
so
right. My mother's born in 1988.
My mother was born in...
September.
My father was born in 88, so my father was born in John Day country.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then 88, 12, 17, it'd be 1905 if she was 17.
I would assume it was 1905, 1906, but you know, I didn't even know this till some years ago, because I've been on a hike up there down your trail, and talking about Yosemite Valley and Tuolumne Meadows and things, and so she starts this long spiel that she never told me about. I don't remember it. And of course, I found it most interesting about John Muir and his little Chinese servant making tea every afternoon. And he rode a mule in those days.
Right, I understand you. Yeah. Most of the John Muir.
Well, some of it, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he know the one that ever cared?
When
you
were when they left, well, then in 1905, that was well before he went down to Costa Rica.
Oh, yeah, this is 1912 they're down here. I think it was 1912.
Yes, that's far right.
I think he went to Bend in 1909. I'm not sure the exact date, but I think that's about, because it's just before the railroad was built, and he actually told me once, he said, you know, this way I got in was riding a stagecoach, which is right in the tail end of one era going into a new era.
Yes, in his book, In Oregon Country, it's actually written December 25th of all times, 1914. And he mentions having been there for, you know, about 2 or 3 years. So that backs him clear up to around 1912.
So, well, actually, it's a little earlier than that. But the Bend Bulletin there in the newspaper. I don't know. Let's see what it says. Probably later than that sometime. I don't know when.
Excellent edition. 1913. Copyright.
You don't know where we could obtain a copy of this.
Well,
what's written in the front of this one here? I see this one. What does that say? Who's that to?
This is to F.A. McGillard, who did a better job with his bait of the making of this book than I did with mine. GBP, me, maybe.
I know this is some individual. I don't know just who it would be.
Yeah, I have book binders. I have... I have one book you may be interested in. As soon as I'm finished, I'll be glad to give it to the family. I have the book George Haven Putnam wrote about George Palmer Putnam, Sr.
I think I have that.
1812 to 1816. If you don't have it, I'll be only too happy to pass it on to your family.
We had a hard time getting it. We sometimes wait for months, and then the book binder will call and say,
Memoirs of a publisher. You know, that George Haven Putnam left about 1921 or 22 or something.
You only have one of those books. You don't have all three.
Well, it gives me enough. You know, it gives me some of the roots that it comes from. I thought your book, father's book, I thought Up in Oregon Country was kind of spoke a lot about the man, and I thought Up in Our Country.
Well, it was written later.
Yeah. But,
did you know that Peg Lewis, at one time when she was in college, she and her roommate were playing silly games, and her roommate said to her, Peg, if you could marry anybody you wish, who would you marry? And she said, George Palmer Putnam. You're kidding. Changes that were going to be made because of the canal, because of the railroad, and your father really had quite a lot of foresight. But he was also talking about the Hetch Hetchy water project and the importance of the Sierra Club and the importance of conservation and whatnot. Again, 50 years ahead of the popular movement, or 40 years ahead of the popular movement. But did you notice in Up in Our Country, he's talking about water conservation and the importance of, and how eventually water is going to be the thing that's going to
Well, 30 years bear in mind that when he wrote Up in Our Country, at Lone Pine, you know, the city of Los Angeles controls the water rights. They bought them up years ago in that valley. And this has always been a big controversy up there, so this is something that he would have heard a great deal about up there. Remember, I think he wrote some story for the movies about it at one time or other, but they had quite a time when it was built. This area has been turned into a desert, basically, but the ranchers were paid for the land, and the city of Los Angeles used the water. It was an aqueduct in the base of the Sierras. The water comes down, funnels into it, and goes down to Los Angeles. At one time, apparently, the Owens Lake was a big lake with even steamboats and things on it. Well, now it's all desert, but it wasn't the company just taken away. The people were bought, paid well for it, but there's a lot of controversy, obviously,
well,
so he would be interested in the background of it, primarily being able to write a story to hopefully raise the money to sell to somebody down in Hollywood, the chances are.
Did you notice that in Oregon Country, though, he's talking about elements of well, I guess you would call it women's lib today. Back in 1914, he was talking about, I can't remember exactly how he was putting it, but the seeds were there.
Well, certainly Amelia was a wonderful example of what a woman could do and should do, and wonderful from her time to have